Hi, I'm Kelly Corrigan. You've probably never heard of me. Maybe you did. I wrote some New York Times bestsellers. I gave a TED Talk. But the reason I'm in your ear now is to invite you to listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders. We talk to everyone from Bono to Amy Schumer, Spike Lee to Rainn Wilson, Krista Tippett and Bryan Stevenson about purpose, creativity, well-being, and what makes life worth living. Follow and listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
12:03, Monday, December 30th. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for joining us today here on the WBBM Noon Business Hour. I'm Andy Dane, in for Rob Hart. Retail fireworks sales are skyrocketing during the New Year's holiday. We'll cover that in our next segment. But first, the week ahead on Wall Street brings key data on housing, manufacturing, and jobs. Joining us now on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Gus Fauché, chief economist at PNC Financial Services. Gus, good afternoon. Thanks for being with us on the Noon Business Hour today. Key data on housing, manufacturing, jobs, a lot of key areas to look at due this week. What are you keeping your eye on?
Yeah, so in terms of housing, we will get data on house prices tomorrow. We are seeing slower growth in house prices. Housing has become less affordable with high mortgage rates, and so we've seen prices increasing, but at a much slower pace than what we saw a few years ago. I expect that the numbers for October will show a further slowing, still increasing, but at a slower pace, and I think over the longer run, that's going to help restore affordability. And then in terms of employment, we will get initial unemployment insurance claims on Thursday. They're often volatile around the holidays, but we continue to see a labor market that is in good shape. Layoffs remain extremely low. Businesses have cut back some on their hiring, but generally it's still a tight labor market out there. We're seeing wages that now are increasing more than inflation, and so we're in a good spot with the labor market at the end of 2024.
All right, so Gus, all that being said, obviously a new presidential administration coming up here in just a few weeks. How does that kind of play into your view of the overall economy here?
I think that President-elect Trump is inheriting a good economy that has a very good labor market. Inflation, which has been too high over the past 2 years, is slowing. It's still a bit higher than the Federal Reserve would like. I think the key question is, what does the incoming administration do about tariffs? There's been a lot of talk about raising tariffs on imports from China, from Canada, from Mexico. Raising tariffs would, first of all, make prices more expensive for American consumers, so they would end up buying less. Also, it would mean higher inflation. And the question then is, how does the Federal Reserve respond to that? Do they view that as just a one-time increase in prices and therefore they don't need to raise interest rates? Or if they think that the impact of tariffs on inflation is going to be more persistent, it could be that they can't cut interest rates as much as they're expecting to now, or perhaps even they might increase them. So a lot of it is going to come down to tariffs and then immigration in terms of labor force growth and where are we going to get workers for the future.
Gus, you mentioned the Fed here and also kind of that fight against inflation. How do you see that battle kind of impacting all of these numbers here heading into the week?
Certainly, we are seeing better inflation numbers in 2024 than what we saw in 2022 and 2023. I think that we see the Fed continue to cut rates next year, perhaps not quite as quickly as they've been cutting them now. And then we do get data on manufacturing. The ISM Manufacturing Index comes out on Friday. One of the things that we're seeing is that we're actually seeing goods prices falling because high interest rates have weighed on purchases of goods, particularly big ticket items like cars and appliances. So it could be that if manufacturing continues to soften, then that gives the Fed the flexibility they need to further cut interest rates in 2025.
And Gus, finally for you here, whether it be that housing area, manufacturing, jobs, in your eyes, as we roll into a new year, what is the biggest threat to the overall economy?
Again, I think it's policy decisions that would weigh on economic growth. So either higher tariffs that mean that the Fed can't cut rates more aggressively, or restrictions on immigration that would mean fewer workers available for American businesses, and that means the economy can't expand as quickly.
All right, great stuff as always. Thanks so much. That's Gus Fauché, chief economist at PNC Financial Services. Coming up, firework retailers across the Midwest gearing up for the New Year's Eve rush.
Money talks as the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Well, with New Year's Eve just one day away, the retail fireworks industry is in its second busiest season of the year. Let's welcome in Bruce Zolden, President and CEO of Phantom Fireworks. Bruce, thank you for being with us here on the Noon Business Hour today. All right, so you think about fireworks, I think everyone's mind kind of probably goes to the 4th of July, the Independence Day holiday. But New Year's Eve, another busy season for you. Why is that?
Well, Happy New Year's, first of all, Andy, and thank you for having me. And yes, the New Year's week, 26th of December through New Year's Eve, is the second busiest time for the consumer firework business. Just many people are, since the COVID era, have started celebrating their New Year's Eve parties with consumer fireworks at midnight, giving some color and noise to the celebration. And it's been growing pretty rapidly every year.
You mentioned the New Year's Eve boost here, and obviously with Phantom Fireworks locations just about everywhere, the Midwest and the rest of the nation, how do you look at 2024 for the industry as a whole as it comes to an end here?
Well, there's a lot of things happening in the future. As you know, we're now one day away from 2025, and everybody in the firework industry is preparing for the 250th birthday of America, which is only 18 months away, and people are buying, actually stockpiling their fireworks for not just the 4th of July in 2025, but also preparing for 2026, which we think will be a shortage of fireworks. The China and other places that are manufacturing consumer fireworks won't be able to supply the demand that we'll have here in the United States. So people are gearing up. They're planning their shows. They're using some fireworks now for their New Year's Eve and 4th of July in preparation of the biggest parties, hopefully in our history.
Absolutely. Now, whether it be for the 31st or that big celebration that you mentioned, are we seeing any trends, any types of fireworks maybe that are really flying off the shelves here?
Well, it's still the 500-gram repeater, which is a box, and you ignite it, and it gives off anywhere from 25 to maybe 200 shots at the same time. It's like a grand finale in a box, and it's called the 500-gram repeater. Phantom, for example, probably has 100 different varieties in its showroom, and those seem to be the most popular because they're easy. One light, and you have a grand finale.
I love that. Grand finale in a box. You know, you mentioned, too, the big celebration in 2026 and you know, obviously the demand here for New Year's Eve. Supply chain issues have also been an issue for the industry in years past. Where do you see things as we head into 2025 as far as that demand goes?
Well, shipping was a problem during the COVID years. There was a big supply and demand with any type of product shipped to the United States. And shipping caused the fireworks industry to have to raise their prices due to cost, extreme costs. But it has gotten much better. We are expecting, hopefully not, tariffs to come in with the new administration. And so people are anticipating that fireworks will have to go up based on whatever tariff is put on consumer fireworks. We hope there aren't any, but you never know. And so people are actually buying our gift cards also, which gives them an extra protection against increased prices by our add-on bonus that we're giving with the gift card. So we're seeing extreme amount of gift cards being sold for New Year's Eve and the Christmas holiday in preparation of what I mentioned, the future next 2 4th of July's.
All right, ending the new year with a real bang. Busy man, thanks for being with us, and Happy New Year to you. Bruce Zolden, President and CEO of Phantom Fireworks. Coming up, pop the perfect bottle of bubbly this New Year's Eve. We've got what you need to know next.
It's WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Well, New Year's Eve is all about the bubbles. From champagne to Prosecco and Cava, people love popping corks and celebrating the big nights. Joining us now with advice on shopping for that perfect bottle is Carly Katz, owner of Bottles and Cans, which you can find in Chicago's North Center and Edgebrook neighborhoods. Carly, good afternoon. Thanks for being with us here on the Noon Business Hour. A lot of factors go in. Maybe people have their own tastes that they prefer. But in your eyes, how do you go about choosing the best bubbly for your New Year's Eve bash?
Me personally, I try not to fixate on pricing because I think there's a lot of amazing things out there that you don't have to hit those crazy, crazy price points. And there's a lot more out there than also just like your typical champagne. I love that this is a night of celebratory and fun, you know, bubbles and sparkling and the whole, you know, glitz and glamour of it. But you don't have to go $300 bottles. I think doing Proseccos and Cavas and really running the gamut on anything is about what people like and about what people are like willing to spend the money on.
Well, Carly, for those of us kind of strolling into the store who maybe are new to that game and are trying to avoid maybe that $300 bottle, how do you kind of differentiate those of us who don't know what to buy and maybe they're debating between a champagne, a Prosecco, a Cava? What are some of the key differences there?
Well, a lot of times it's region where they're from, Cava being from Spain, Prosecco being from Italy, champagne, of course, being from France. But there's another segment of like French sparkling, which is like the Cremants. Those are still made in the same like method of champagne, still has that secondary fermentation, but those price points aren't nearly as high. You can also go the direction of what do you typically drink? Do you like something a little bit more sweet? Do you like something a little drier? You know, is this going to be something that you cheers to when you go on and decide to drink, you know, a beer or something else? Like those all kind of factor into how we would lead people into certain directions.
And, you know, not to overwhelm those who are maybe making that shopping trip. But I'm curious, too, when you factor in comparing and pairing your bubbly with food, how should you be thinking about what you're offering on the food menu as you're going in to pick that bottle of wine?
Depending on what you're going to eat, I would typically say that keeping things as light as possible, just in general, because in my head, everyone's wearing like smaller clothing because it is like more celebratory, but doing something where the pairing kind of makes sense, making sure that if you're doing like a lighter bubble, maybe sticking to white fish, maybe going with a salad base as opposed to doing like a big heavy like steak or, you know, big heavy, you know, red sauces, white sauces typically go quite well with most bubbles. But it's really kind of, I'm a big believer in eat what you like, drink what you like, whatever makes you happiest. So for me, I think the pairing is really up in the air for whatever you like, but it can also be as structured as you want it to be. I mean, there are some very, very like structured, this goes with this and this goes with this, period, types of things that you can do, but I don't know how necessary it is. And I don't know how many people actually go that direction much anymore.
Well, really helpful stuff, especially for those of us who have maybe put their shopping on the back burner here. So great stuff as always. Thanks so much. That's Carly Katz, owner of Bottles and Cans, locations in Chicago's North Center and Edgebrook neighborhoods. Still ahead, investment ideas from our Monday stock picker.
This is Chicago's news, traffic, and weather station, News Radio 105.9. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. I'm Andy Dane in for Rob Hart. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. Charges are filed after a weekend stabbing at a suburban restaurant. Former President Jimmy Carter being remembered as a man of principle and his service beyond the White House. Illinois' second biggest city says it is the first to jump into the eSports competition arena. And it's Stock Picker Monday. We'll get a pair of suggestions from a money pro. On Wall Street, the Dow is down 299 points. The NASDAQ dropping 143. The S&P 500 down 43 points. AccuWeather says cloudy skies today are high right around 43 degrees. Right now, sunshine and 41 degrees at 12:31. Well, two people are now charged in a stabbing at a suburban restaurant Saturday that left several people with injuries. Oak Forest police say Jeray Brown Jr. of Robbins and Cameron Brown of Hazelcrest face one count each of aggravated battery with a deadly weapon. The incident happened around 2 o'clock in the afternoon at Jamaica Jerk Choice on West 159th Street. No word on what may have triggered that altercation. Well, flags across the country will fly at half staff for the next 30 days as the nation mourns the loss of 39th President Jimmy Carter, who died yesterday at the age of 100. CBS News correspondent Mark Strassman is in the former president's hometown of Plains, Georgia.
It's hard to describe just how small of a small town it is. Several hundred people, not a single stoplight. They have an interesting relationship with the Carter family. On the one hand, very proud of the Carters and Jimmy Carter in particular, the way he put Plains on the map. But they're also protective of the family. And so far, the response has been muted. I think in part just to give the family some space, give them a chance to grieve in private.
Cannons are firing every half hour at the West Point Military Academy in tribute to Carter, a former naval officer. He was awarded a Nobel Peace Prize for his diplomatic work after leaving office.
Because money matters, this is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Markets are trading sharply lower as we start the week. And joining us now on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Jack Ablin, Chief Investment Officer at Crescent Capital in Chicago. Jack, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us here today. Stocks seem to be under pressure here as the week begins. Your overall thoughts here as we roll into the final days of 2024?
Yeah, it seems like it's a quiet day, quiet week, but the path of least resistance, unfortunately, seems to be lower on slightly higher energy prices, slightly lower interest rates, but not enough enthusiasm to get the buyers out here.
Jack, there was plenty of enthusiasm this year, really a monster year in terms of financial markets. Curious if, despite kind of the sluggish start today, that you see that momentum rolling into 2025 here.
Yeah, I mean, I think, notwithstanding of the last week or two, momentum is still pretty strong. One of the ways that we track momentum is just looking at the 50-day moving average of the S&P 500 relative to the 200-day moving average, and that's still pretty handily above. And as long as that stays above, that suggests to us anyway that momentum for the market is still pretty positive.
Jack, a lot of talk about the incoming new presidential administration and how that could have an effect on markets here. Where do you see things shaping out, particularly regarding that so-called Trump trade?
Interesting. I did a piece today for our advisors comparing 2016 Trump trade to 2024 Trump trade. Remarkably, both reactions are very, very similar, with U.S. large caps leading the way higher and U.S. stocks leading international, gold down on a stronger dollar, emerging markets and other markets falling. Interestingly, if we dial back to 2016, what we find is that what we'll call the Trump trade or policy-oriented trades work very well until Inauguration Day. And then investors turn their attention to what they always do, just global macro issues and other fundamental pieces. So just an interesting note that, last time around and this time too, China was pretty hard hit, because it was in the president's crosshairs for tariffs and so forth. Same thing this time around. Interestingly, in 2017, so 1 year later, China turned out to be the best performing major market. So I do think that the inauguration is somewhat of a turning point, and then investors look beyond just these policies themselves.
So, Jack, ahead of that turning point that you talk about, what do you see as perhaps a major threat to financial markets, or perhaps the one that has your eye here?
Sure. Probably the biggest threat to U.S. markets in particular is just the success that they've had. Valuations are very high, which means that multiples require interest rates to stay where they are or come down a little bit. But also earnings, which are currently expected to grow 13% in 2025, need to stay there or move higher than that. So I do think that in many respects, U.S. large caps in particular are priced to perfection. Doesn't mean we can't continue to move higher if perfection improves, but other markets like small caps seem to have a little more flexibility in terms of valuation.
And Jack, quickly before we let you go, your advice here to the individual investor heading into a new year?
Yeah, I think it's, our view is to be a long-term holder, allow the U.S. equity and other equity markets to compound for you. The last 2 years have been remarkable, but the longer you stay in, the more the compounding works in your benefit.
Great stuff as always. Thanks so much. That's Jack Ablin, Chief Investment Officer at Crescent Capital. Up next, esports taking center stage in the western suburbs tonight.
Your best stock option. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
West Suburban Aurora hosting America's first ever municipal video game tournament tonight, which will also be streaming live on Marquee Sports Network. And joining us now with the details is John Saglul, communications manager for the city of Aurora. John, thanks for being with us to discuss this really cool event here. Before we get into tonight, this seems like a real proof that esports have exploded here in popularity over the last few years, and obviously Aurora cashing in here.
No doubt about that, Andy. We are really excited for this event, and really it goes back to our forward-thinking mayor and, you know, the chief administrative officers and our chief communications and marketing officer as well. You know, having the buy-in from a lot of these higher-ups within the city allows for Aurora to be forward-thinking in events like this and really in a lot of different initiatives that we do. So fortunately, everybody sees the excitement that goes around something like this, and everybody could tell that this is going to be a trend for years to come. Esports is on the rise, and Rocket League specifically is a very popular game. So what better way to really engage our youth and engage the entirety of the western suburb, Chicagoland, and beyond by putting together a tournament like this?
All right, so you mentioned tonight's event, you mentioned Rocket League. For those of us who maybe have not wasted some time, sitting on the couch playing something like this and aren't familiar with it, tell me a little bit about the game and about what people can expect tonight.
Absolutely. So Rocket League in and of itself, you are essentially controlling, with your video game controller, a car, like a race car. And what you're doing is you're using that car to kick a ball into a net. So it's essentially soccer with race cars. So here tonight, what we're going to be doing is we're going to have 16 teams show up to U-Time Gamers inside of the Fox Valley Mall, which is conveniently located right off of Illinois Route 59 on the border of Aurora and Naperville. What they're going to do is they're going to show up. It's going to be a 2-versus-2 tournament. So 16 teams, each team has two players, and we have a bracket set up, and they're going to vie and fight for a $500 grand prize and a custom-designed trophy, and of course the honor of being named the first ever Aurora Gaming Series Rocket League champion. And for this tournament tonight, we have people coming, frankly, from all over the country. Of course, the western suburbs, Chicago, the city in and of itself. But we have people coming in from Westfield, Indiana. We have somebody coming in from Houston, Texas. In fact, the player from Westfield is ranked within the top 0.3% of Rocket League players in the world, across the world. So we're getting a lot of interest in this tournament. And I think tonight you're going to get to see some really good Rocket League play, especially as we get into the later rounds.
Absolutely. So for those who aren't able to attend, I understand there is also, talk a little bit about the partnership here with Marquee Sports Network as well.
Yeah, absolutely. A big shout out to their VP of programming, Ali Bertucci. You know, I reached out to her and she was very interested in this. And, you know, this is going to be a partnership opportunity for us, not just for this event, but for other events put on by the city of Aurora moving forward. But we're going to start with this one. So the tournament is going to air live tonight on our YouTube channel, the City of Aurora, Illinois, on YouTube, on our Twitch channel. We're one of the only municipalities in the country that has a Twitch channel that live streams 24/7. So it's going to be on our Twitch at City of Aurora IL. It's also going to be on ACTV, Aurora Community Television. If you live within the city boundaries of Aurora, you can watch it on your television on Xfinity Channel 10 and AT&T Channel 99. Then on January 4th, it's going to air on the Marquee Sports Network. So this upcoming Saturday, it's going to air on tape delay on the Marquee Sports Network from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. So we're trying to really find ways to reach a diverse audience, whether it's youngsters on Twitch, of course, or on some of the younger platforms, to your regular audience who still has cable television. We're trying to reach everybody and get everybody some exposure to esports, to this tournament, and to what it means for Aurora moving forward.
And lastly, John, I mean, you talk about that. Obviously, a lot of buzz, a lot of excitement here. What does an event like this bring to the community of Aurora?
Well, it absolutely brings a great opportunity for engagement for our youth. I mean, this is obviously something different. It's the first of its kind, hosted by a local municipality across the country. So this has brought out people that we have not been able to engage with in the past because they're maybe not be interested in government too much. But when you hear about a Rocket League tournament, of course, they get interested. At the same time, it's brought Aurora to the forefront of hopefully, you know, a new trend here in Aurora and maybe across other governments nationwide where you could utilize esports and bring in really a diverse crowd. Again, we're bringing in people from Indiana. We're bringing in people from Houston, Texas, and, of course, all across the Chicago suburbs and the city of Chicago itself. It's a great opportunity for our city to cement itself as a hot spot for esports, not just for today,
but hopefully for the years to come. So we're really looking forward to seeing what this brings down the road, and perhaps we'll be talking about another tournament in just a couple of months from now, depending on how tonight goes.
Well, absolutely. Well, really exciting stuff. Thanks so much. That is John Zangluel, Communications Manager for the City of Aurora. Don't forget to join us at this time tomorrow, Travel Tuesday, and still to come, our Monday Stock Picker.
Lunch money for all generations. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
And it is Stock Picker Monday. Joining us now with a pair of investment ideas is J.J. Kinahan, CEO of IG North America and president of Tasty Trade. J.J., good afternoon. Thanks for being with us here today on the Noon Business Hour. And let's dive right in with your first stock pick of the day here.
Yeah, so you know, this is one that may seem a lot, may seem more fundamental, even, if you will. It's already in a lot of people's portfolios, but that being Microsoft. And, you know, it's amazing. I look at our clients, and it's always one of the top 3 to 5 names that they're buying. But if you look, and this is one that's probably a little bit more of a long-term play, as well as obviously days like today, if you want to play it for a shorter-term pop. But you look at what's going on with Azure Cloud Services, their productivity software, et cetera. I think one of the really underrated parts of what they've done recently, because they do so many things, is their acquisition of Activision and the gaming, and how they can, you know, continue to appeal to a younger audience with some of the things they're doing, as well as with a obviously a business audience. So this is really a much different philosophy for the traditional Microsoft, going directly to the consumer in more of a fun way as compared to a business type way. And then, the you know, one of the things they recently announced that I think has Wall Street very excited is that they're using AI models that are not only internally developed, but from outsiders too. And they have a new product called Microsoft 365 Copilot. And what it's going to allow people to do is sort of pick their AI model. And again, this may sound, you know, next century for some people, et cetera, but it really is amazing how they, you know, continue to do a great job of owning the consumer. And I think they're often underrated in some of the things they do, particularly around AI.
All right. So Microsoft is our first pick of the day. And JJ, your pick number two here.
Yeah. So pick number two is one we see a lot of our clients buying recently. And again, a well-known name, but I think sometimes overlooked also, and that being Goldman Sachs, you know, GS. And this is a stock that has kind of, you know, it's sold off a bit from the highs we saw earlier this month, as has most of the market, when it was trading about 615. Stock, as we speak, trading just over 575 and a half. And, you know, again, what I think has people really excited here is, you know, they've always been a leader in deal flow. And I think as we look into the next presidential administration, one of the areas that's really expected to do well is mergers and acquisitions. And so as companies buy other companies, as companies merge with other companies, we know from the past that Goldman Sachs always tends to be at that table. And so I think that this is an area of the market that has slowed down significantly over the last few years. And many people looking at that area, along with IPOs, companies going public, to be something that has great growth potential with the new administration and perhaps some easing of antitrust regulations, et cetera. So I think that, you know, beyond all the other things we know they do well, is really one of the areas that has Wall Street incredibly excited about this stock.
All right. So just to recap, there are stock picks for today. Microsoft, that's MSFT, and Goldman Sachs, GS. Thanks so much. That's J.J. Kinahan, CEO of IG North America, president of Tasty Trade. And don't forget, you can find past programs and later today a podcast of this hour at WBBMNewsRadio.com and the Odyssey app.